Welcome to Medroom Chronicles. Join nurses and other care providers as they let you in on discussions usually reserved for the privacy of the locked medication room. In this weekly nursing podcast, the filters come off and we tell it like it is. Your hosts, nurses Adrienne Benning and Andrew Craig, are here to educate and entertain on all things in the nursing world. This podcast is intended for nursing students, nurses, nursing assistants, and other care providers. Non-medical folk will probably get a kick out of us too. If you like what you hear, subscribe and share. Happy nursing, folks. Hello to everyone out there in the Medroom Chronicles community. It's Adrienne here again this week with no one. Just me. Except this time I got a little bit of a better plan, so hopefully I'll ramble a little bit less than I did last time. This week we are going to talk about my personal tips for how to keep your cool walking into a shit show. I have 5 tips. But some of them are kind of multifaceted, so it might take us a minute to get through these. 5 pro tips for keeping your cool walking into a shit show. You know the shifts I mean. The second you step onto the unit, you can tell this is going to be bananas. Call lights are going off like crazy, heart monitors are alarming, phone lines are ringing, nurses and CNAs are like running all different directions. It's kind of chaotic. Or worse, you see no one. They're all in rooms, tied up doing God knows what, instead of sitting, ready to give you calm, thorough report. It's upon seeing this that I invariably want to turn on my heels and run out the door before anybody has the opportunity to see me. But I love my profession, and fear of joblessness and poverty work in tandem to keep me moving towards the report room instead of running for the elevator. So how do I keep my cool? The obvious answer is a daily SSRI and a PRN beta blocker before work. But that isn't very helpful to my readers at large. So here are some non-pharmaceutical ways to brace yourself as you walk into what can only be described as a shit show. All right, so my first tip is actually a really common one, but it bears repeating because it's a really important one, especially for new grads or nurses like me who maybe don't have the best memories and need to actually write things down in an organized fashion. What's number one? Number one is show up a few minutes early to assess the situation, figure out what your assignment is, and a little bit about those patients. I'm literally talking just a few minutes. Some employers are not going to let you clock in early to look through charts, but I cut my losses and I do it anyway. I just don't clock in. My personal experience is that the money I lose in the 10 or 15 extra minutes per shift is worth it for me to feel more prepared and less anxious when I step out to get my patient assignment. If I feel like I have a better handle on things, I'm less anxious and I don't get flustered as easily, and it allows me to head into a potentially really busy or chaotic situation with, I guess, a better head on my shoulders. If I only have a few minutes, like we're really talking bare bones here, I'll check the previous nurse's assessment on each of my patients. Like I'll give it a glance, I'll look at neuro assessment, whether or not they have a bunch of tubes, lines, drains, what kind of IV access they have. If I feel really generous or if there's a fun group of nurses on shift that night, I'll show up even a little bit earlier. I'll do the same, but instead I'll also like maybe read the H&P right off the bat and the latest doctor or social worker's note on the plan of care. I think my unit does an especially good job of giving really thorough report. So the reason that I tack on the history and physical and the progress reports maybe don't need to be looked at immediately is because I know that I'm going to get a really good picture of why the patient is there from whoever I get a report from. Number 2, form alliances at the start of the shift. And I'm not talking survivor style, though some shifts it feels like that. I mean, find your best allies for the shift. If you're like in a pod with another nurse and you both have patients that need to be repositioned frequently, team up. If you have a nursing assistant or patient care tech, touch base with them to prioritize cares. While we can't count on sticking to our plans exactly to the letter, we can at least amplify our spirit of teamwork and make sure no one feels like they're walking into a mess all by themselves. Number 3. This, for me, is really important. Some people don't operate this way. It kind of depends on where you work, but I think it's really important to have your superhero tool belt on when you clock in. Have all of your necessary tools and supplies. It's going to vary, depend on where you work and what you like to have on you. But for me, I have a list of things that I have on me in designated pockets at all times. I have my stethoscope. If it's between assessments, I will usually take it off of my person because it's heavy and can cause neck pain, but it's always nearby. I always have a black pen, a red pen, a highlighter, and a Sharpie. I have my pen light, little safety scissors. I usually have alcohol pads and IV hub caps, my med sheets or my report sheets, which I have a really specific way, and I'll talk about those another time. I have some saline flushes in my cargo pocket. I have my fancy hospital issue iPhone in my other cargo pocket. I really like these. I've done clinicals in hospitals that have other types of communication devices that aren't as good. I happen to actually like the Volt phones. I think it's better to just send somebody a text than having to run all over the unit looking for them. Anyway, I keep the same items with me, the same pockets each shift, because I can whip something up without digging. I know some nurses wear fanny packs, or they have special like pocket things that can't, I don't know. There's all sorts of ways to have what you need on hand. Sometimes if you work in an ICU, you've got a cart at the bedside that has everything you need, so you don't need to carry a ton of crap. If I don't have a pair of scissors, I can't get my lidocaine patches or my lactobacillus caplets open, the packages open, so I just know that I always have to have those with me. Having everything at the start of the shift is going to save you steps. It's going to save you minutes that turn into hours. So be prepared. Have everything that you need. Number four. This one I cannot stress enough. And actually, perfect example I had just like not more than a week or so ago. Next tip is do bedside report. For some institutions, this is a given. For those of you that do bedside report without fail, I applaud you. For those of you that roll your eyes at this, hear me out. Some people claim that it's time consuming and they get roped into doing a bunch of shit that delays the offgoing nurse from leaving or the oncoming nurse from starting her day, his or her day. The vast majority of the time, this has been untrue for me, although I get it. This is anecdotal. This is my personal experience, but bedside report achieves a few key things. One, it ensures that the offgoing nurse isn't going to walk out while you inherit a patient who's covered in poop and has ripped their IV out an hour ago. You guys need to hold each other accountable and walk in and show each other that things are under control. This doesn't always mean that you're following a bad nurse who's been negligent. It just means that patients are quick, confused patients are even quicker, and you never know what you're going to find at the start of a shift. So it's really important that if I go into a room and I find that patient confused and on the floor, I need to know if they were confused before. So having that nurse there with me is going to help me determine how big of a problem we have. And actually, just last week, went into a room with a nurse to do bedside report, and he was naked at the foot of the bed when he had previously been sitting in the recliner. We got him properly covered, we got him safely back to bed, we put the bed alarm on. Fortunately, no harm came to the patient. However, if I hadn't gone into that room for another 15 or 20 minutes, I have no idea what I would have walked into, and the offgoing nurse would have been on her way home. If you do bedside report, make it worth your while. Review things like lines, drains, pumps, wounds, the patient's neuro status. If you're looking at these things, you've already got half your assessment done. Boom. You've already got a part of a skin assessment done. You've talked to the patient. You know if they're confused, if they're talking about crazy shit, you can chart that. You're halfway done with your assessments by the time you're done with bedside report. Most of the time. Not always. Most of the time. And finally, in the subcategory of why you should do bedside report, If you are there with the off-going nurse, you do bedside report, and here's what we do. We do report at the nurse's station, and then we peek into each room. I say, hey, I'm going to be your nurse. The off-going nurse says, hey, I'm going home, like I'll be back tomorrow, or I hope you get better, or I hope you get out of here, or whatever. And then I say, you know, I'm just going to check over. I want to check your IV real quick. I want to check your pump. I want to check this. I want to check your drain. I want to look at your chest tube site. Cool. All right. I'll say to that patient, is there anything that I can do for you that needs to be addressed immediately? I'll also do a pain assessment, because then if I don't get back into that room for an hour or so, I know that I'm not going to have a patient that's like writhing in pain. So boom, I've got all this stuff done. We can boost the patient if we need to, empty the urinal. Then I'm not going to have a call light in 5 minutes for these things. So I personally am a huge proponent of this. I think it's a safety thing. I think it keeps your, you know, coworkers accountable, and then it keeps you accountable, because you know at the end of that shift that if you sat on your ass and looked at eBay all night instead of cleaning your patients' rooms, you're going to have to face the music. So, you know, this is not to be punitive, but this is just to say, like, I think we need to not try to pull one over on each other. And in my time, I've had it pulled over on me a few times where walk into the room, it's a mess, I have no supplies, the patient is like upside down in the bed, and you know, they've ripped their brief off and they've been incontinent, and you know, the TV's up full volume and the bed is all messed up, adjusted, because they were just pushing buttons. Avoid that. Just go in. Okay. Getting a little long-winded here. Last but not least, I think this one is actually really, really important. And it doesn't always come up, but I know that when you're prioritizing which patients you go see, you have to think about your critical patients that may need your attention first. That's always going to trump everything, but you should be taking care of that, you know, safety kind of assurance during bedside report. So then I say after that, you want to prioritize mending fences at the start of the shift. So if I hear that a patient has had a rough time getting along with staff that day, if something negative happened, if they didn't get a test or a procedure they were really counting on, I resist the urge to avoid that room in fear, and I face the problem proactively. Since I work nights, I say things like, I hear today was really rough on you. My plan for you to have a good night is this. It also never hurts to ask them what their priorities are moving forward and ask them what would make them feel better in regards to whatever the negative experience was. Now, some people can't be schmoozed. Some people just have days that are kind of inconsolable, and jerks also exist among patient populations. But I've had experiences that have been really positive in which I kind of take this approach where I go head on and I hear, you know, I never say like, oh, I hear that you and that nurse didn't get along so great. I try not to get involved in stuff like that because I don't want to talk negatively about staff, even if I think that maybe staff was an antagonist in whatever the problem was. I have had moments where it works, and most of the time it does. The times that it doesn't are few and far between. Of course, use your judgment. Don't apologize for things you didn't do, but do empathize with your patient. Build trust by showing them that you're on their side and that whatever happened, you want to rebuild from it. Again, whether it be a conflict they had or something that happened that they didn't expect, let them know that, you know, while sometimes your control is limited, that you want to do everything you can to make their hospitalization not be quite so bad. So again, there are always going to be exceptions to every rule, but I think that these are some generally pretty good tips for walking onto the unit and seeing that, oh man, tonight is gonna be a shit show. We just had a full moon weekend here, and yeah, no doubt, sometimes it can get pretty rough. So what are some of your tips? You know, some people say that they will make sure that they have like a really good coffee and that they're energized. That another thing that I'll do I'll throw this little bonus one in for you. I kind of treat every shift like an athletic event. I'm not a very athletic person. I used to be. No, I'm definitely not that athletic anymore. But my point is that I go into every shift knowing that I'm going to be doing a lot of lifting and pushing and pulling and walking. So I think it's important to do yoga, do some really good stretching, a little bit of a muscle warm-up, whether that be taking the stairs or walking briskly from the parking ramp to my unit. But overall, I think it's really important to make sure that you're stretched out, you're warmed up, that you're ready to go, because 12 hours is a long time to be doing very physical work. Treat it like a sporting event so that you don't hurt yourself, because some nights, as we've so lovingly been calling them, are shit shows, and they can hurt you if you're not prepared. So yeah, guys, stretch before you go into work, make sure you're hydrated, pee before you give report, and I've been seeing it's a trend on social media that nurses are brushing their teeth before a report. I really like this idea. At the very minimum, pop a piece of gum, or if you absolutely have no time to do that, just keep your distance. Just back it up. I don't want to smell your coffee breath. What do you guys do to keep your cool? Leave your comments, questions at medroomchronicles.com. I need to get better at updating that. I always post the episode to the RSS feed, and then it takes me like 2 weeks to post it to the website. So I'll try to be better about it, guys, but I'm a college student. I am a working nurse. I am a lazy girl, still trying to break out of hibernation mode. So anyway, that is enough for this week. Thank you for listening, and make sure you subscribe, share, follow us on social media. As usual, happy nursing, folks. Here at MedRoom Chronicles, we may be uncensored, but we are not unfiltered. Protected health information has been changed and concealed to comply with HIPAA of 1996. The things we talk about are combinations of years of experience with thousands of patients, things we've read, stories we've heard. If you think we're talking about you, trust me, we're not. Also, we're real nurses here to provide accurate and helpful info, but don't take us as fact without doing your own research. Refer to your state's Board of Nursing, Practice Acts, and your institution's policies and procedures if you have questions about your practice. Lastly, our very strong opinions are ours alone and do not reflect those of our employers or educational institutions. Thanks for listening, and happy nursing, guys.